powerful, powerful, powerful declarations. Powerful. And I pray that you imbibe what she's saying when she's saying it. Imbibe it. Take it to the head. I mean, write some of the things down, because there's such accuracy in that. And those declarations are really, they're given unto us from the Lord. And the Lord continues to remind us, and he adds to it as the rhema goes forward. He continues to remind us of past rhemas that were heard. For this is our promise here. And this is how we tap into it. And so today I want to talk to you about the mind of the Spirit is our welfare. We've been dealing with welfare, and the Spirit of the Lord wants everybody to tap in to his welfare system. I was talking with Kurt for a while yesterday, Minister Kurt, and he was just blessing me with so many things that he believes that this word is starting to open up for him. There's so many things that have been opening up for us as well, business-wise. New ventures, a new stream came under our business. And we've just been, new opportunities are opening up for us. And the welfare of God is really being poured out. It really and truthfully is. I think yesterday alone, Kurt described to me about three new streams and that have opened up for him and that will be opening up for him. And we're just seeing God move. And I've heard from different ones, different things that are taking place. And I know that for everybody that is under this word, moving in the oneness of this word, we have found, I love the declarations, we really have found the real source of our strength and power is in the oneness.
Yes.
And so therefore, the mind of the Spirit is our welfare. And we'll describe that to you today. Welfare, some more definitions. It means well-being and health, which we know. It means good health. It means happiness, comfort, security, safety, protection, prosperity, profit, good, success, fortune, good fortune, advantage, interest, prosperousness, successfulness. And the antonym, there's only one antonym to the word welfare. There's only one, hardship. That's the opposite. Everything in God's welfare is for our betterment in every which way. Spirit, soul, body, finances, everything. In God's welfare system, outside of it, we only experience one thing, hardship, and it's absolutely the truth. It's hardship. By not being tapped in, we make life so much harder. And we know that we're in this welfare by the peace of God. It's a part of the peace package. It's been so wonderful talking about prosperity and favor. Now he's revealing welfare, where welfare to me is really connecting the fullness of prosperity that God has.
Amen.
It's under one word, welfare. It gives us our health. It gives us our safety, security. It gives us our comfort. It gives us profit, prosperity. It protects. Everything is in this, and it's under peace.
Yes, it is. Yes,
that's
it is.
Why we have peace. I mean, really, if you think about it, who wouldn't have peace if they have all of this? Good health, happiness, comfort, security, safety, protection, prosperity. Good success, fortune, good fortune. You have the advantage. Who wouldn't have peace all day, every day with all of that? That covers life, praise God. It really and truthfully does. It covers life. Happiness goes into our relationships. Protection goes into being shielded from anything that's going on around the world and in the world. I mean, we've got everything under the welfare of our God. And it's because we're joined to him. When you joined and you're joined and you recognize how joined you are, you begin to declare that the welfare of God is over you and your family. And you begin to recognize and you judge what's in your tillage and you start to cry out, welfare, your welfare is here. Everything about your situation in life will begin to align itself and change, because you're recognizing what's in your tillage. You're recognizing. So when we receive the promised Holy Spirit, we receive God's welfare. You can't walk in the welfare of God without the mind of his Spirit. When God began to outpour in the book of Acts, it was being done through the mind of his Spirit. We're going to look at the book of Psalms real quick, and we'll get back over to Acts in a second. Psalms 133, 1 through 3. We're going to read this again. We read it last week, but there's something that the Lord wanted to point out to me, and I'm glad he did. It says, a song of degrees. Interesting word. A song of degrees of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And we learned last week that we're unified by the Spirit, by the mind of the Spirit of God. So each as individuals, we're unified by the Spirit, and then we are unified corporately as we are individually unified. So it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. So I looked at this again as the Lord told me to, and then I looked at the word degrees. It stuck out to me. And it says the song of degrees of David. I'm saying, okay, there's something special here. The word degrees means the act. Imagine that. We've been dealing with the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
The act. This is where action is. David is talking about something on another level. It means, actually, it does mean a journey to a higher place. It means superiority of station. It means a climactic progression. So when David was singing this particular song, this was a song of elevation. This was a song of a superior place. And what made this song of superior place was David began to look into the church and see the church in unity. He describes the anointing that it would become because of being in unity. So this is like next level psalm singing for David. This is David piercing in to the superiority of station, the place to a higher place. And he's watching this, and it's all around the word unity. This is what triggers this dimension, this climactic progression. And so now the message of peace has been brought unto us in the rhema of oneness. Now, the message of peace has brought us into the rhema of oneness and unity. So we started with peace. Now, there's a progression. We're journeying to a higher place of peace. We're journeying even higher. We're joined unto the Father, which we understand. But now he's saying, in this place of joining, this is where I'm executing all of my will. My will was for you guys to be one as me and my son Jesus are one. This is the will of God, that we all have his mind. So this is a climactic, progressive place that we're entering into. David even said it in the psalm. He understood this is next level. This is next level. This is superiority of station. This is exactly where God wants his children, in a place of oneness. So our oneness is the place of action. It's higher and more superior. And it's going to cause a climactic progression. What the Lord told me that this meant was, it means abounding winds are about to manifest so much more. Because we're going to be under climactic progression. It's going to be constant over and over again. Nothing but victory, nothing but victory, nothing but victory in everything we're doing. Nothing but the outpour of the welfare of God. We're about to see a greater outpouring of this covenant, of the fruit of his peace. To put it short, his welfare, this is what he just dropped in my spirit. His welfare is about to go crazy. So get yourself ready. David saw the church as one in this psalm. He saw us as the anointing oil that ran from Aaron's head to basically all the way to his feet. He saw that this is where God commands the blessing, as it says in verse number 3. It's coming. It's coming. All this about staying in the study, all that we've been doing over the last 7 to 8 years, God has been training us to have oneness of mind, the ultimate place of God's peace. where we're walking in oneness of mind together. And I understand it. I understand the mystery behind it because we read it last week as being the body. There's only one body. There's only one body. There's no way my left leg is going to go left and my right leg is going to go right. That's a split. They move together. If the head is saying go left, we go together. Our minds are exactly the same. And the way we've been trained in Rhema, I'm trying to tell you, Rhema, on this line, the reason why you're about to see the welfare of God is because we've been moving in the mind of God together.
Amen.
The enemy would love to put a cloud around that we never discover the dimension that we're really in. But we are in the absolute rights to receive the welfare of our God because we've been walking in the now word together. Together. And now with this recognition of it, by discerning it and understanding it, I pray we do it even the more so on purpose.
Amen, amen.
I pray we move together on purpose. That every day we rise together, knowing that I am my brother's keeper on purpose, knowing that if I stay here, I'll make us stronger. We'll have a greater outpour of God's anointing together. That as we're saying the same thing, minding the same thing, we will see the outpour. Why? Because this is where what it says in verse 3, it is as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. That's what we're walking in. That's why God has trained us so beautifully. He's trained us to stay in the study together. He's trained us by being on the Moore group. And by doing our case studies, we hear the same sound. It's one trumpet, praise God, being blown. Oh, Jesus.
Bless you, Lord.
So now, this becomes the divine assurance of God's welfare. Watch this now. In Acts 2:37 through 39, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Peter had been preaching the word. Now all that were listening, they were all in one accord. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The word promise means a divine assurance of good. Now, receiving the Holy Spirit, it gives us a divine assurance of good. It also means, here's that word again, the act of a promise given or to be given. So now, not only does he gives us a divine assurance, but there's action behind it. It's where manifestation takes place. So now we have to equate that this promise is downloading his mind. This is what he did in Acts. He downloaded the mind and will of the Father into them. He did it by way of the Rhema word, and then he does it even more intimately by putting the Rhema word into action. So we're going to go beyond just hearing the Rhema word. We're going to hear the action of the Spirit so that we can begin to receive a greater measure of the welfare of God.
Yes,
he wants
God
to communicate action. Now, I'll tell you what he did. It's the Holy Spirit's role in the Trinity to execute all of the mind of God. The Holy Spirit does all the heavy lifting, if you will. When the Father thinks of the works, he wants it done. It's the Holy Spirit that he wants done. It's the Holy Spirit that did them and that does them. He is our divine assurance of good. He is the act of the promise given or to be given. This is how it works. Watch this here. In the book of Romans, all right? So now we see an outpour of the Holy Spirit, and then all of a sudden, he begins to communicate the mind of God to them. He begins to communicate exactly what God wants and exactly how to bring them into this welfare system. Yes, Lord. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh, that's capital S, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Oh, Jesus. Every deficit that you have, God knows. Every problem you're facing, God knows what's on your mind. He knows what's going on. God searches your heart. And then the Spirit of God, who knows God, the Bible says, who knoweth God save the Spirit of God? Only the Spirit of God knows God. So God is looking at you, and the Holy Spirit's waiting to be tagged by the Father to communicate how to receive from him. So now, with a mind of the Spirit, in essence, is our welfare source. Ah, Jesus. The mind of the Holy Spirit becomes our source of God's welfare. So God communicates the will, all right? He's communicating his will to us all the time, things that he wants us to do, things that are going on. He's constantly communicating everything that he wants. And then he knows exactly what we're facing, what kind of problems are in front of us. He searches the hearts. So now the Father's will only can come by way of the mind of the Spirit. So now the mind of the Spirit is necessary. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about in just a second. This is why they found such kingdom success in the book of Acts. I'm going to make it simple for you to understand. They were all in with one mind. They were all had one mind. They were all in one in the mind of the Spirit. The mind of the Spirit begins in the rhema word, but then it reveals how to bring forth manifestation to that said word. Examples, like when they sold all their possessions. All right. They sold all their possessions. They were hearing the mind of the Spirit.
Amen.
They were listening to the mind of God. They were listening to how welfare would be transferred. They were listening to how things would be done. And they decided they wanted to stay in kingdom. That was their hearts. They didn't want to leave this place. So God said, let me show you how. Let me communicate my welfare for you so that you can go from house to house, breaking bread, staying in the word, and experiencing debt freedom. So they heard the mind of the Spirit. God heard their heart and communicated his mind. That's why the gift of the Holy Ghost is so important, so we can hear the mind of the Father.
Amen.
And it's in the hearing of the mind of the Father. Yes, we hear it in the Rhema word. That's just to establish a place. But then the mind of the Father wants to come forth. He wants to be able to communicate on levels. Kurt said something really intriguing to me yesterday. He said he had a thought in all this series on elevated peace and all this series about the welfare of God. He had a thought that we would come together and buy a building. And I'm not talking about to have ministry service. He's talking about a housing building, apartments that we can invest together, live together debt free. Saying that in all move and live and receive equity. And I said, Kurt, that's what God is speaking in this time. Those are the things that God wants to do in this time. But it takes a oneness. It takes the unity. There's strength there, not just with our prayers. There's strength as God pours out resource. He wants us moving together.
Bless God.
They were in the word. Listen, if they never laid the sick folks in the street, if they only were listening to the apostles' doctrine, which they did, but then the mind of the Spirit said, let's take this to the next level. Lay everybody sick in the streets and everybody that has demonic spirits on them, lay them down in the streets. The mind of the Spirit told them to lay. Who in the world lays sick folk in streets? I've never rode down a street where a bunch of sick folk are laid out there. But the mind of the Spirit said, lay them out. And he laid out, the mind of the Spirit said, lay them out. And they laid out the sick folk, the impotent folks in the streets. that at least the shadow of Peter would touch them. The Bible says every one of them that was there was healed, set free, and delivered. They were in the mind of the Spirit. The mind of the Spirit becomes the welfare of God. The rhema word is to, again, position us here. But now God wants to execute another level by giving us the mind of the Spirit, the mind of the one that has been endorsed to bring forth manifestation. And he puts things into action. This is why the welfare came bursting on the scene, because they were tapped into the mind of the Spirit. God, again, reads our hearts. He reads our hearts, and it's amazing because he does. He plants things he wants us to do. Now God is reading the heart. Now he wants to fulfill the things that are in our hearts, but it's only going to happen when somebody has an ear to hear the mind of the Spirit. That's where the welfare of God is transitioned. If I never heard to go over someone's house, as the Lord told me on when to go, who was facing a going in under the knife with cancer, if I didn't hear the day when the Lord told me to go there, and told me, gave me his mind, downloaded his mind, exactly what needed to be done. And she was healed. She was healed prior to them ever doing any surgery. Thanks, but God. That was the mind of the Spirit. In 1 Samuel 16:5-7, let me show you again who is the one searching the hearts here. And he said peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. This is 1 Samuel 16:5-7. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked at Eliab. This is the I believe the eldest son of Jesse. Eliab. This is when Jesse was trying to figure out who the Lord had chosen to be king. He looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, watch this, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So now Samuel was looking outward, but the Lord's heart and the mind of the Lord was towards David, the little ruddy one, the smallest of all of them. He was, his heart, the mind of the Spirit was over David, God's mind. See, when you're not in the mind of the Spirit, you might move naturally, and that's why we make mistakes. That's why we do things out of order and out of the timing of God. God had to straighten his own prophet out and say, no, don't you even think about it. My mind is not on him. I've refused him. My mind is on David, who's soon to come. And so this is how the Lord begins to move, and how to bring forth. And through David, we see great welfare because of the victories over the Philistines and all the armies of the Israel's enemies. We see the welfare of God tap in because Samuel communicated the mind of the Spirit. So you can't move forward without it. And that is where the welfare of God is hid for us.
Amen.
Now watch this. No mind of the Spirit, there is no welfare. Watch this now. Watch this. It says here, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Acts 4:31-34. Watch this now. And we're going to go on a little journey in Acts 4. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said of them that aught the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. All right? Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and of houses or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold. Why are we going back here? Because we're going to look at one word, filled. The word filled means imbue. It means influence. It means supply. I also like this definition. It means to fulfill time. They were all filled. So now when they were filled, they began to fulfill time. It is the influence of the mind of the Spirit that fulfills time. What time is being fulfilled? This is what the Lord said. I asked him. He said, it is finished. He said, that's the time you come into. He said, that's fulfilled now. He said, because my influence is there, and the time that's fulfilled is what I finished and accomplished on the cross. It's an outpour of my welfare. Because now they stepped into to fulfill time. They stepped into it. They can't, come on, man, for you to lose or give up everything you spent your life getting, all that time that you spent, all the years that you spent to buy your land, to buy your house, to build it. Now, all of a sudden, in one foul swoop or one quick moment of the Holy Spirit coming in, you step into fulfilled time. You step into the real place of God's welfare. They forgot about all the time they spent getting it and came into what God calls fulfilled time. Why? Because they were filled with the Spirit. They were under the influence. And so now they step into, it is finished. Now, what they could not accomplish by themselves, they accomplished corporately as a unit, as being one. Now, everybody who's paying a mortgage on the land is no longer obviously paying a mortgage. They have paid everything completely off. Every man received as they had need. Can you imagine that? Time fulfilled. They moved into the realm of it's finished. When we tap into the mind of the Spirit, we, which is being endorsed by the Father, we tap into the full welfare of Christ. It's finished. It's finished. All right? So they understood. They knew they had the mind of the Spirit, which we see immediately moving. Now we'll keep going. Let the story goes on. All right? This is another look of being inside and outside the mind of the Spirit. It's, all right, watch this. We already know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira for being out of the mind of the Spirit. All right? We know what happened to them. And trying to tap into the welfare of God. Well, here's another example of being inside and outside of the mind of God. We're going to go on. I'm sorry, we go to Acts 19 now. In Acts 19, verses 10 through 12, it says, and this continued by the space of 2 years. That's talking about Paul was preaching in Asia for 2 years. He started out preaching for 3 months, but then there was contention. There was a lot of contention. There was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of division. So Paul had to plow for two more years. So that all which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So Paul keeps Asia, or a lot of Asia in the now word. Paul is preaching for 2 years. It comes to a climactic point where Paul now, these people are so tapped in now that Paul couldn't go see everybody, but if they could get just maybe a handkerchief or an apron, some of his clothing, and take it to those that were sick and diseased throughout Asia, they would be healed. The welfare of God began to spread there because they all came into the oneness of mind because of Paul preaching. Those that were bucking up against Paul, they were divided, things kind of settled down, and then believers were built for 2 years. And as they came into the oneness of mind, we see great miracles with clothing.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
With clothing. The welfare of God would not be stopped from those that had the oneness of his mind. It wouldn't be stopped. So Paul communicated the word and established the mind of God into Asia. The welfare of God began to break out. To the point of Paul, if Paul couldn't be in a place himself, his clothes were saturated and the minds of the people were in the mind of the Spirit, so that the sick and disease and evil spirits departed from them. They were in the welfare of God completely. All right, we read on in Acts 19. Let's look at it, what it means to be outside of the mind of the Spirit. One of my favorite stories here. It says here, than certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists. That's what they were. Took upon to call over to them, to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit, my God in heaven, my God. Woo! And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, oh, hallelujah, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Why would he know Paul? Jesus, I understand. I'll tell you why. Because Paul had the mind of the Spirit. He had the mind of the Spirit. He had the mind of Christ. When he did things, he did it under the mindset of the Spirit. He moved. Now, Sceva and his sons, they only had the name that Paul used, but didn't have the mind of the name. Yes. And it says here, and the man whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. Can you imagine this? Come on. Go all the way there in your mind and overcame them. Why? Because they're trying to push this guy out, this demon out, without having the mind of the spirit. And it says, and he overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Jesus. Now, the word exorcist means one who employs a formula of conjuration for expelling demons. These guys were mere conjurers. That's what they were. And they saw Paul moving with power, so they thought that what they could do was real. But they didn't have the mind of the Spirit like Paul did. They didn't have the mind of the Spirit. So the welfare of God was not supported. They had no means or access to it. So these men were Sceva and his seven sons were conjurers. They didn't have the mind of the Spirit. They merely saw the success of Paul as he operated in the mind of the Spirit. They heard the name of Jesus, but they were not in the name of Jesus. We may not see failure. Listen, this is what the Lord tells me to tell you. We may not see failure to this magnitude. But let me assure you, every time we operate outside of the mind of the Spirit, we see the opposite of God's welfare. We don't see the divine assurance of good. We too don't see finished works. And just because we don't get stripped naked and wounded for people to see, we know the struggles we have with demons of oppression because of our failures. And the only reason why we experience this is because we sometimes move outside of the mind of the Spirit. We move outside of that. If we're not under the mind of the Spirit, there is no welfare release. There is no welfare. I've seen so many tragic moments at the altar, watching failure after failure, watching, sitting in the audience and watching so much failure at the altar, watching people trying to cause or force or by their own strength things to happen and nothing happens. I'm telling you, it's because we step away from the mind of the Spirit. Then I've seen people do things that are so abnormal and so strange, punching people in the stomach to cause tumors to come out, watching them do things that make no sense, drinking water and spitting it in people's face and causing their minds to come back into normal. Hearing words that don't seem like it was God. One man of God told the woman that was having sexual issues that couldn't stop. She was so promiscuous. He prophesied all the way back. He said, your grandmama was a hoe. Your mama's a hoe. But then he said to the woman he was talking to, but you ain't a hoe no more, and laid hands on her. She fell out and was delivered and set free. The mind of the Spirit, where God can be strange and do things differently and do things that, no. It goes beyond just hearing the rhema word. The rhema word was to position you. Now let God communicate. It was weird and strange that all of them twice over in the book of Acts were communicated by the Spirit to sell everything that they had. bunch of strangers, people that they did not know, giving them their possessions and their wealth. Man, come on. The mind of the Spirit, it makes all the difference. It is what causes God's welfare to manifest in our lives. It's what causes it to take place. Jesus. Jesus.
Yes, Lord God.
And we've got to come into that dimension. We've got to come into that dimension. If the story goes on, if you continue reading the story in Acts chapter 19, let me see if I have it here. If you continue reading the story in Acts chapter 19, it's amazing. Because what happened there after Sceva and his seven sons, they failed. God took their failure and used it. And as they were humiliated, fear fell on everybody in Asia. And what took place, oh my goodness, my goodness. What took place there was there were some people, other people that performed dark arts. They were performing dark arts and they were reading books on how to conjure. There were so many that when they heard about what happened to Stephen and their sons, if you read it for yourself in Acts 19, these people came, they came back and they were fearful. So they brought their conjuring books to burn them. And watch this now. And they believed through Sceva and their son's failure, they tapped into the mind of God. God used that to stir up the rest of Asia to get them into his welfare plan. Now, they come back and watch this. They burn all the dark arts books. But prior to burning them, they added the cost of the books. And I found this just amazing for us. They added the cost of all the books that they were about to burn. The cost of all of the books ended up being 50,000 shekels, 50,000 silver pieces. I said, 50, why in the world would they reference this? And this is what I heard God said. He said, I referenced that for you. So you can see that when they came in, they came right into Pentecost. They stepped right in. They stepped right into my festival. They sold or counted the cost. And just to reference the number 50,
hallelujah.
God was saying, hey, everybody that gets into my mindset comes into my Penti. Everybody comes into my Jubilee. Everybody steps into my welfare. Everyone does. As soon as they came into my mindset, I said, Lord, I thank you for the reference.
Thank you.
I see what the significance was of why they would add all the books together. Not only was it a great amount, but it was also signifying to us they came into Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
They stepped into my festival. And the Lord is saying unto us, as we continue in his mindset, we too enter into this wonderful welfare festival. Glory be to God. Now, some of our rhema might be asleep on a pillow, and I'm closing. But before I close, I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to minister to you, to wake you up, for you to get up, get into his mindset, get out of your own self-pity, get out of your own thinking, get out, get yourself in the rhema word. Don't worry, your rhema may be on the boat, sleep on a pillow, but it's about to get up. First, know this, your affliction that you might be facing right now is for the sake of God's word. Whatever you're facing right now, you rhemaite, listen, you're blessed. In darkness and in light, you're blessed. It says in Mark 4 and 17, it says, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Watch this. Affliction, we learned a long time ago, affliction and persecution is going to come. But it doesn't mean for us, it should not mean for us to get into our own thinking. It should not mean that we leave the rhema word. It's not right that we leave the word and wait on tables. It's not right that we leave the word and try to push and work. That's what it's saying. It's not right. We need to stay put, stay in the rhema. The reason why you're being afflicted is for the word's sake. The word's sake means, watch this, here's that word again. The act of speaking. you're going through and you might be struggling because it's working out in you, the act of speaking. It's for you to begin to speak. It's for you to begin to recognize, okay, I'm over here. I'm being afflicted here. This is going on. It's for you to say, okay, let me turn to the word. And as you turn to the word, that affliction that you are facing, it's going, and as you get into the rhema, it's going to cause you to speak toward it and declare the welfare of God to come forth.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
It's for a reason. Your affliction is to get you moving. It's to open your mouth and declare and get up. I'm trying to tell you something now. I'm going to prove it to you in just a moment. It's for the purpose of speaking. So now they were on a boat now with Jesus. All right? They were on a boat with Jesus. Jesus was asleep in the midst of the storm. Everybody knows the story. But watch this. This is just, the Lord showed me a different twist here. It says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and when the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, Jesus is the only one on the boat with the mind of the Spirit. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Bottom line is, Jesus was the only one with the mind of the Spirit. He was the only one, but the one with the mind of the Spirit was asleep on the pillow. When he woke up, he communicated the mind of the Spirit. You and I are at times asleep on the pillow. We are asleep sometimes on the pillow. But we got to get up in the midst of the storm, tap into the mind of the Spirit, and speak to the storms that are around us, so that the welfare of God can take the place of the storm itself. Let God arise. Let his mind arise. Let your enemies be scattered. Once you open your mouth, the Holy Spirit will work your divine assurance of good in any capacity that you may have need. Once you begin to speak again under the mind and influence of the Spirit, the storm that is raging around you even right now is going to cease and desist. But you, my friend, must tap back into the mind of the Spirit. That is your divine assurance.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Of all of God's welfare.
Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Lord.
Don't allow your circumstance to cloud God's judgment. Let it cloud your judgment, but don't let it cloud his, because it's by way of the mind of the Spirit that all of the welfare of God is being poured out. God wants to become intimate with us. He wants to become so much more intimate. He wants to give instructions. He wants to talk to us about different things, different moves. God is calling us upward, and when we come into oneness, as we continue in oneness, the Spirit of God will communicate unto us individually and corporately that we can be a ministry that moves. We can move. I was looking at some of the stats on our Podbean. I believe we're in about 29 countries. We're all over the place where people are listening. It's 19 countries. And in the United States, we're hitting 29 states where listeners are, going all the way up to Canada, in two different places in Canada. It's moving all over Africa. It's moving through China. It's moving. The word of the Lord is moving. God has given us a platform. It's already there. God wants us to hear his mind on how to take the world with the rhema word of God, to execute so people can hear, so that we can become one, that the entire body can become one. This is the place where the outpouring of God's true anointing is locked away for us. He called us as one body. And the Spirit of God is calling us, True Gospel Ministries, to really go forth and become that light. That as we, the local body, move and find the success of God's kingdom, it will become a platform for all of the world to understand and know. And they can be added. I told the Lord, I said, really, Lord, this is really where you're taking me. This is an elevated place for me. I've never considered like this. I've never considered. I was always just worried about my little vineyard here. The people that you send me. But he said, no, this is way beyond that. He said, you're all a part of one body. And so my new endeavor, my new push, my new dimension is, I see what this word has done in this house. And I believe this word is strong enough to do it for the body.
Amen, God.
I believe it's strong enough. I know it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it
I know is. It's strong enough to unify yes, us. The is. More, the yes. more that are unified, the greater the anointing becomes. We want miracles, signs, and wonders. And God has often used individually one man to do great things for a season. That's not God's plan for one man. My goodness, if you read the book of Acts, deacons were walking in power. They were walking in power, working miracles. They weren't just an administrative team inside the church. These people were working miracles. It's never been a call for the apostles alone to walk in miracle signs. And it's called for every believer. These signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen. Amen.
God is calling us into the mind of his Amen. Spirit to secure a place of absolute unity. He's calling us there. Your word, the rhema inside of you is ready. Wake up off your pillow. Wake up off your pillow and let the word arise in you. Because while you're asleep, it almost seems as though the rhema is sleeping. When Jesus got up off that pillow, he communicated the mind of God. And every bit of that storm came into peace. Let me tell you. He was really looking at them saying, how in the world did I not tell you what the mind of the Spirit was? Did I not say we were going to the other side? If you would have known that I communicated to you the mind of the Spirit, you yourselves would have stopped the storm. Understand this, Rhema. I understand you being in this Rhema, you have the mind of the Spirit. You have the mind of God's Spirit. Now God wants to get a little creative with it. He wants to have some fun. He wants to have some fun. He wants to tell you different things in which to do. If you're in the rhema, don't worry about it. If you're under propitiation, you ain't going to hear from the devil there. You will sniff the devil out quicker than he could ever imagine. You'll know it's your flesh. You'll know who's talking. That's the purpose of propitiation. Jesus, you're trained to walk in the mind of the Spirit and to see the welfare of God released in and on your life and the life of others. And I'm looking forward to moving forward with the people of this ministry all together, moving in the mind of the Spirit, minding the same thing, saying the same thing. Seeing God move in so many tremendous ways, walking in success. I'm excited that one day we'll be in a place where God can communicate anything to us, just like he did them. I'm so excited for it. I'm so excited and I'm so elated to know that, hey, my anointing or the anointing on my life can only grow stronger as I walk in more agreement with you guys. It's wonderful to know that we together make up his body, and that anointing oil is running down his body from the head, from the mind. But we're doing it together. We're doing it together. We're gonna be empowered together. We are on the shores of the other side, not just Apostle Todd, not just Prophetess Manita. No. Not just the elders of our church and ministers. No, we are on the shores of the other side. We walk in the favor of God. Man, you can lift up your voice, man, as you're tapped in. You can understand this, man. Man, I receive the same favor. I receive the same favor as everybody else in this ministry. My goodness, the only thing it takes is being joined unto him, being in the rainbow word, and we can all walk together and say, we receive the same favor. I don't live in a greater realm of favor. No, the realm of favor that I live in is an open book, and God's saying, let everybody in. Glory be to God. It's our time now. It's our time. It's our time. We have a few comments here. Elder Donna says, amen, Apostle. I got that from earlier. Blanche says, amen. Curtis says, amen. Elder Allison says, amen. Elder Donna says, amen. Javon says, amen. Hashtag mind of God. Elder Donna says, bless God. Elder Allison says, amen. Evangelist Darrell says, hallelujah. And Elder Donna says, powerful. Powerful. I'm excited that the enemy's plan to cause any division in our ministry has been completely annihilated. Yes. I'm excited that we're going to finish this race together. Yes, I'm excited that we're going to see and experience the power of God, the wealth of God. Oh, the grace of
hallelujah.
God. The hand in hand, walking in this rainbow world.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I'm excited about it, praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yes.
And every man, woman, and child, part of this house is going to walk in the blessing of our God.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
glory.
Oh, yeah, that's
hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you.
Glory to God.
Thank hallelujah, you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank
you. Ooh, yes, glory.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I hear the Lord say, my anchor is holding. My anchor holds. My anchor holds. My anchor holds. My goodness. My anchor holds for you that have thought you drifted away from it. My anchor's holding. My anchor's holding. For you that feel like you're not a part, my anchor holds. You are a part. We're joined corporately. Because of this rhema word. How awesome it is, man. How awesome it is, praise God. Ooh, how awesome it is. Oh, God, we give you glory.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
God, we give you glory. God, we give you glory.
Thank
you,
Lord.
Can you lift your hands to him just for a moment?
Thank you, Lord.
God, we give you glory. God, we give you glory. God, we give you glory. For reaching and touching and grabbing everybody, Lord God, bringing them close, drawing them in. We give you glory. We give you glory, Lord God. Now, I need you to put a hedge around the entire ministry. I want a hedge around the entire ministry. Those that are saying amen to this rhema word, those that are continuing to stay in it, to keep the glimpse, put a hedge around them, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lock us into your welfare. We together give you glory for the outpour of your welfare that's on our lives. We thank you, Father, for this outpour of welfare, that it is our time. Communicate all your will to us. We are listening. We are open. We are ready to execute. We give you glory, Jesus. We give you glory, Master.
Jesus.
We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory. Just to name a few. We give you glory, Jesus. Just to name a few. We have brothers and sisters. We have brothers and sisters. Just to name a few. I won't name them all. We have brothers and sisters here in Ghana, in Canada, South Africa, Belgium, United Arab, France, Russia, United Kingdom, Nigeria, just to name a few. India, Japan, South Korea, just to name a few. And in the United States, we have brothers and sisters walking in the power of agreement. This anointing is getting stronger. Florida, obviously, Illinois, Georgia, California, Washington, Texas, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Nevada, District of Columbia, Virginia, Colorado, Oregon, Pennsylvania, New York, and Oklahoma, just to name a few. Massachusetts is on there. Praise God. Just to name a few. In Canada, we have the British Columbia and Ontario.
Jesus.
We have brothers and sisters that are connected to this anointing that go beyond what we're seeing or realizing that God has already created a platform. He's already moving that we can really attack and come into oneness in the place of the Rhema word in the mystery of Mark 4 so that people can tap in. But I believe those that are close to home, that are here on the line, He really wants to show something through us. And I can't wait until we assemble back together. Because I tell you this, I know it's been a rigorous training. Because a church building has a way of keeping you. Because you have to face folks. And so you move differently. This right here has been raw training on how to stay with God for yourself.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And we're going to be stronger and better than we ever were in oneness. And we're going to see the power of God. We're going to watch the book of Acts happen all over again, but in a greater capacity.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Lamb of God. There's an anointing on the phone. There's an anointing, and I feel that your personal ceiling shattering.
Ooh.
And that there's manifestation of physical needs coming. There's manifestation of God's favor coming. It's manifestation of His healing coming. Great favor. Elizabeth, if you're on the line still, God says He has great favor for you over the next several days. Great favor.
Hallelujah.
Bless God.
Great favor. Oh, glory.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
He said He wants to blow your mind again. He wants to hear your praise. That's going to come swelling up in you. Great favor. Ooh, Jesus. Kurt, keep your ear to the wall. Keep your ear to the wall, Kurt, for these instructions. These instructions that are coming, keep your ear to the wall and you execute without fear. Without fear. Execute without fear.
Amen.
In these instructions, Kurt, you won't have to run schematics. You won't have to. There'll be instructions of the Spirit. And some of them won't sound flush or sound accurate to the people around you. The people around you, in reference to the people around you, I'm talking about the people that are in your financial circle. They're going to move. This will be some things you move with them with, but God is saying there's going to be some things that I bring you to the side in that they won't even understand, but it's going to flip and it's going to outpour. Keep your ear to the wall and don't let fear be a factor at all. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Evangelist Dow, I hear the Lord say, you enforce your rights in the realm of the Spirit. Enforce your rights in the realm of the Spirit. Enforce your rights, your covenant rights. God says he wants you to enforce them. Enforce them. Principalities and powers, rulers of this age, are trying to hinder you. You're supposed to be crossed over in great prosperity. God says you stand up and enforce your rights.
Yes, Lord.
And the room will shake.
Ooh, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Thank you, Lord.
The room will shake.
Yes, God.
And favor will break out.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes,
Amen,
Lord.
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Amen, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. When he outpoured, and this was for everybody on the line, when he outpoured his mind and filled them, and he filled them, they all spoke the word boldly. Everybody on this line, when we hang up this phone, you take a moment to boldly speak the word of the Lord over your atmosphere. You take a moment before you get into your day and you boldly speak the word of the Lord. Cause crooked paths to be made straight, rough ways to be made smooth. Valleys, tell them to be filled. And that every situation in your flesh, let it see the salvation of the Lord.
Yes, God.
Mountains brought low. You speak boldly.
Yes.
Posture of the lion was released in this meeting. The posture of the lion. Let your adversaries hear the lion on the inside of you for a moment when we hang up this phone. Glory be. Glory be to God. We're going to forego the announcements, but I do want to hear the prophetic benediction. And after the prophetic benediction, we're going to sow our seeds. You can sow your seeds. Everyone can sow. I believe everybody has instructions on how to sow. Worship God with your tithe. Worship God with your first fruit. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. But after our benediction, we're going to say until next time, until Tuesday. But I want you to take the time to allow the lion of the tribe of Judah in you, the posture of the lion, let him loose because he's on you. He's on you. And anything that isn't right, you speak the mind of the Spirit over the situation.